This is the How to Play the Game podcast, and my name is Darren Heitner. Today, I'm joined by South Florida-based NFL agent David Cantor. David, thanks so much for taking a few minutes out of your day to do this podcast. Now, David, the big
thank
news
you for
this
having me.
Absolutely. David, the big news this week in the sports agency world that directly affects you is the announcement that GSE Worldwide has acquired your company, DEC Management, or DEC Management. But before we get to that, let's set the stage here for the listeners of this podcast. When did you get your start in the sports agency world, and what caused you to want to represent pro athletes?
That's a great question, and nobody ever asked me that. It's pretty funny you asked me that because nobody ever asked me that. So I went to Ithaca College for undergrad, and I was lucky enough to be on a team that won the national championship in 1991. And I grew up here in South Florida. My mom, who's, you know, my backbone and my heart and soul, was smart enough and brave enough to start taking me down to the Orange Bowl growing up on Miami Beach in the 80s. And obviously, you know, for all of those that are listening, they remember the Miami Hurricanes were really something special, something that's probably never going to be ever seen again in college sports history. And obviously the Miami Dolphins were pretty exciting back then too. They had just drafted this young guy with curly hair named Dan Marino, and they had a pretty wide open offense. And so to be a young kid, I think I was 4 or 5 years old when I went to my first Orange Bowl game and just immediately fell in love with pro football and college football. And still to this day, I know you're a Florida Gator. You know, I trend towards being a Miami Hurricane fan more than being an agent of trying to get the Miami Hurricanes. It's one of the few teams that I can actually still be a fan of. And I want to see Manny and the team do well. So I go to University of Miami Law School. And just prior to entering law school, I had been an intern for the Florida Marlins. And that was my real first taste, thanks to Ithaca, of pro sports from the inside of the sport. And I saw the lockout of 1994. For those of you who don't know, they canceled the World Series in 1994 over a labor dispute, over a collective bargaining agreement dispute. And I was actually working for the Marlins. I think it was August 12th, 1994. And part of my job was like to go around and make sure the stadium was operating well, if we had a giveaway that night. And I got to be friends with a lot of the players. And I think they were playing the visiting team, the St. Louis Cardinals. And the St. Louis Cardinals were abandoned. The owners basically let the head coach, the manager, the equipment staff, the trainers fly back on the charter. And then the players for the, I was just getting a call. I'm sorry, Darren. The players for the Cardinals were abandoned and had to get their own transportation back. And literally my job being game day operations, my boss says to me, hey, you know, it's 12:02, baseball's canceled. You know, you don't need to come to work tomorrow. Good luck. And I was like, really? And so that was like, I was like, wait, the players kind of got screwed here. Like, who's representing them? Who's on their side? And that was the first time I really thought about being an agent in 1994. Luckily, I went to the University of Miami School of Law. Again, I know you're a Florida guy, double Florida guy. So, you know, I'm not as smart as you are. And at the University of Miami School of Law, I got pulled over by a police officer for having a broken right taillight. Actually, it wasn't broken. The light bulb burned out. And the cop, I said to him, look, I'm a poor law student, man. I don't have $75 for a ticket. He goes, look, I don't think the light's broken. He goes, I think you just need to replace the light bulb. And I go, how do you even do that? He goes, I don't know. There's a gas station over there. See if they sell one. So I pull in to the Shell station on 27th Avenue, Coconut Grove. And literally 5 seconds after I get the light bulb and I'm trying to put it in my car, Lamar Thomas pulls up in a green Range Rover. And I immediately recognized Lamar Thomas as a former Miami Hurricane. He was part of the Afros, America's Finest Receivers on Saturday. You know, he would catch a 3-yard out route and pop his helmet off and wild out to the crowd. And I was like, this is like my guy. Oh, my God, there's Lamar Thomas. So he walks into the gas station. He walks out. And literally, I go, you're Lamar Thomas. He goes, yeah, man, what's up, dog? I got to go. I'm like, I want to be a sports agent. I'm in law school. You know, I work for the Marlins. I want to know about the business. He's like, man, you talk too fast. I was doing it purposely because obviously I didn't know how much time I'd have. And 3 months later, after paging, because back then we had to use beepers, we didn't have cell phones, Lamar Thomas called me back and said some very unnice things that are curse words that I won't use here for your show. And I literally was like, I don't know if you remember me. I met you at the gas station. And he was like, yeah, what's up, dog? What the hell do you want? And I was like, I want to be your agent. And he goes, man, I'm in Coconut Grove right now over at Hooters with some teammates. If you're anywhere near, you got about 15 minutes. I sprinted full tilt out of my apartment to Coconut Grove, met up with Lamar Thomas, and sitting there at the table were like 8 Miami Hurricane NFL players. And 2 weeks later, I think I had 15 guys in the NFL as their off-the-field marketing agent. I got certified, and 25 years later, I've never worked a day in my life.
That's an incredible story. I didn't know that before. So literally, you met the player at a gas station, followed up with him by paging with him, and then you got 15 minutes to show up.
Darren, I paged him every day, so much so that I don't remember if he was married at the time, but she might have thought I was a girlfriend because I was annoying. Because it was like my one shot, right? Like, how often are you going to run into a football player you know and kind of worshipped as a kid? A weird part of the story is I went to Ithaca College. The head football coach at Ithaca was a guy by the name of Jim Butterfield, who's in the Hall of Fame. He recruited me. I originally was recruited to play either quarterback or wide receiver because I was a little bit shorter and they did a different offense than what I played. But when I got to Ithaca, they felt I would be better as an outside linebacker, strong safety, kind of like a Rover type. But me and the defensive coordinator literally hated each other. Jim Butterfield gets sick in my sophomore year. I'm wearing jersey number 13, Dan Marino, right? Jim Butterfield gets sick. We find out later on, he has Alzheimer's. He eventually passed away. And the new head coach that takes over is a guy by the name of Mike Welch. What was Mike Welch's job when I left defense and went back to offense? He was the defense coordinator. Who did he hate? David Kanter. So he looks at me in the first team meeting of my junior year, going into my junior year of college football, and he goes, we will no longer be issuing jersey number 13. It's bad luck. No, he just wanted to do it to screw me over. And there's like a little rumble in the audience of my teammates. Like, they all look at me. I changed to my favorite college football player's number at the time, Lamar Thomas, number 36. That's a true story on my children.
That's amazing.
And then there's Lamar Thomas 4 years later at a gas station.
So David, how long ago was that fateful encounter with Lamar Thomas?
Yeah, so it was either December of 95, going in my first semester of law school, or it was shortly thereafter in January of 96. And it was absolutely, you know, one of the most insane things ever. And, you know, obviously it put me on the path that I'm on now, Darren.
So, David, in that time, you know, roughly 25 years, how has the business of representing professional athletes changed?
Yeah, I think it's changed tremendously. I think the biggest thing right now, Darren, is when I went to Ithaca College in 1991 through 1995, sports management wasn't really considered an industry, right? Now you can go get a sports management degree online. You can go to some website where you can get a degree and they call them, you know, themselves the expert in sports management, even though they've never really done anything. And so I think that what that's done is, one, it's opened up the industry to a lot more people, which is fantastic. I love that about it. Everyone should have an opportunity to be successful in whatever sport or whatever business in sports that they want to do. But what it's also done is it's diminished the quality of representation. And there's a reason when you publish your list every month, every year, it's usually the same 10 or 15 agents at the top of the list. We have a very highly specialized skill. And we've spent, some of us, 30, 40 years, you know, Drew, Joel Siegel, some of the best agents in the business, you know, Todd France, cultivating relationships and acquiring talent and clients that allow us to be some of the best in the industry. And so it's highly specialized, as you know, because you represent agents, you represent attorneys. You know, the horror stories of a player who's, you know, grieving or has a grievance filed against them by an incompetent representative. And so I think that's the biggest part of how the industry's changed is I see worse and worse representation. I talk to general managers, most of them are my friends, and obviously we have to negotiate against each other. And they always tell me year in, year out, they don't recognize half the names of the agents that are representing players. That's not necessarily a good thing, because what it means is players are getting worse and worse representation, and they're driving either the dollars of the industry down, so the players are obviously not getting big enough contracts or quality enough contracts, and then you compound that with the new NIL, which I'm sure is where we're going to head, and the corruption increases, because the ability to go and sign a kid that's a freshman in high school hoping that 8 years from now he could be a first round pick is complete lunacy. But there are people without scruples, and there are people that are desperate to be in our business that will do almost anything to succeed. And even if that means violating the laws, there's no difference between what agents are doing now and giving marketing guarantees and signing clients to future marketing deals that are probably more pie in the sky than reality. Not every corporation in the world wants to work with a college football player. This just in. Coca-Cola doesn't really care. They'll wait and find out when the guy gets to the NFL. They're okay with that, you know? And so it's pie in the sky stuff, and agents going, well, wait, I can get an advantage. I can sign a kid that's a junior and just keep the relationship now for 2 years. And so that's going to hurt the industry even more so than the lack of quality representation, because more and more people will enter it that are not professionals, that are not skilled, and most importantly, that don't have the player's best interests at heart. It's self-motivated interest, unfortunately.
You accurately made reference to the monthly list of top NFL agents, and you always find yourself top 10, top 15 for quite some time in terms of number of active NFL players under representation. So it sort of leads me to the main area of questioning that I have for you, which is related to you now selling your agency after 25 years to GSE Worldwide. Why was now the right time for you?
I think culture and fit. You know, what Brian Ness and myself have been able to build at DEC Management, it probably has a little bit of an expiration date on it, right? I'm the only agent. Brian runs analytics. Ness is now getting certified and is fantastic and incredible. And I think he'll be the biggest agent in the NFL 10 or 15 years from now, because I haven't met anybody that gets it as early as he and his brother, Joe. Joe's a marketing guy who's still at NYU and can take over the world. You know, these guys have been with me since they're 16, 17, and now they're 21, 22, 23. And they were, when they were 15 and 16, 100 years ahead of where I was when I was 26. And they've only gotten better. And the work ethic and the passion and the family support, you know, that a lot of people realize this is our life. You know, there's a reason that it's the same 10 or 12 agents at the top every month. And you know this because you're like this in your business as a lawyer. It's not like, hey, let me go shut it down and take a week off. Hey, I'm just not going to return calls today. Hey, you know what? I got a migraine. I'm going to go take a 45-minute nap and miss my client that might get cut or that needs me. You know it, you know, you see it, you live it, you breathe it every day. And so I think that for GSE and us, they had made some acquisitions that I was aware of, namely Ian Grutman. I had been approached by them 3 years ago with Russ Spielman, who I really like and respect, when they were moving away from their original model into the Gatemore Capital model, which is the parent company, and it's a London-based company. And I actually went out and retained a mergers and acquisitions firm here in Fort Lauderdale. I realized that I was probably going to be a dinosaur and I would soon become extinct. That's not to say, Darren, I wouldn't be still great at my job. And that's not to say I still wouldn't get great clients and great contracts. It's more, how can I do it in a bigger picture with NIL? How can I do it with the money that's being thrown at these players? And I had never done those things in 25 years. I've never cut my fee. As you know, we've had arguments and conversations about this privately. I've never paid a marketing guarantee, as you know. And so those are things that obviously the industry's changed dramatically. And it did it in the swipe of a pen July 1st, right? And so early on in January and February, I talked to my financial advisor, Don Weir. I talked to some people that I trust, and I basically identified that it's probably time for me to either bring on a partner, an equity partner. I haven't had a partner in, you know, forever, or an investor, or maybe look to get acquired. And it's not an easy transaction. It has not been easy. I had three LOIs. I had three different offers over the last 7 or 8 months. Lovely people. But at the end of the day, I picked GSE for a lot of reasons. One, I get to still run DEC management just under a name change. That's literally it. I'm the president of football. The buck stops with me. The company will ride or die on my shoulders. And that's super important to me and my clients. There could have been no material changes in the structure and the operation, or we would risk losing guys. As you know, it's a fickle business. Players leave all the time. So from the branding standpoint and from an operational standpoint, it is the exact same agency that the players and that everyone else in the public knows. The difference is now we have a tremendous marketing arm with Russ Spielman and Ian Grutman, who they acquired last year. Ian Grutman, a local marketing agent who's been in the business for 15 years plus. And we have a lot of similarities. We have a lot of great likenesses. And there's a lot of very, very unique components to how we run our business that are almost identical to how they run their business. That was tantamount, Darren, to every other part of the package. It wasn't, here's the biggest check. Here's the biggest, I'm not looking to cash out. I'm 48 years old. You've known me. You were just at practice with me, right? Like, let's call it what it is. How's my energy level?
Still very high, I'd say.
Do I still have a passion for the sport?
Absolutely.
Do I still want to be great? And can I still prove I'm great? So this isn't a, hey, let's take 3 or 4 or 5 years advance money and then retire and go sit on a beach. I have no hobbies. I don't play golf. I don't play tennis.
You like to watch soccer.
I love soccer, but it's not a hobby, right? And so I'm not looking to get into underwater basket weaving. I've already been lucky enough to travel most of the world with my beautiful wife and my kids. And so at the end of the day, I have an incredible life. What it is it's about expansion. How can we do more for more players that need great representation? The tippy top of the spear, the best of the best. And so I think that that's what this deal does more than any other part. It allows us to really go after the highest quality people who happen to be the greatest football players and deliver a cadre of services that, you know, we were offering, but not to the extreme, not to the extent, not to the quality that GSE can do.
Well, that was a wonderful response, and it answered practically every question that I had surrounding this acquisition. So I'll end with this question, which is, after so many years in the business, we said roughly 25, and objectively a large amount of success during that time, is there anything specific that you still hope to accomplish or any goals that you've set for the future?
Yeah, I think that the goal is and remains the same, Darren. I want to be the best, and I want the best players who are the best people. We will turn down clients, and we still do, and we always have, who don't fit what we think is the model. You know, because I fired clients that don't fit my model. And so we want the best human beings who happen to be the best football players, and we want to do the best for them and their families. That's super important to me. So continuing the upward trend of my agency the last 5 or 6 years, I want more clients. I want bigger deals for them and their families. And I want more and better services for them and their families. And I think that that's what we're going to be able to deliver. And we've already started from day one, which was yesterday. You got me on day two. Yesterday I started at 4:42 in the morning. And I actually had a meeting with a player who's thinking about making an agent switch to about 1:05 a.m. Today, I actually got to sleep in. I started at 5:56 a.m. So we're off and running at GSC football. We've got incredible people behind us, and I'm optimistic and hopeful that all the players around the league who already know us previously as DEC or me as David Canner are going to get on board pretty quickly, as well as the college kids, right? I want to expand the college recruiting. I want to expand our coaching division, our front office representation. You know, we're full service in the football business, and we're going to keep rolling.
I can typically separate the great professionals from the okay professionals based on whether they respond to my texts at around 6 a.m. So thank you for that. David, it was a pleasure.
Stop it, damn it. No, I'm kidding.
No, it was a pleasure speaking with you. Thanks so much for being an open book as always. And you know, I wish you the best with this new venture.
Thanks so much, Darren. I appreciate you having me.